have a year to plan for it. But it's really, the main thing is that it's not so much dressing in red, but that the Holy Spirit is the theme for today. And it really is a big blessing for us. And those kind of things we have, we found this, you know, it belongs to the Lutheran church that used to meet in the church. There's many different kind of banners that are in the space, the closet space downstairs, that we can bring out for different times of the church year. And again, it is a representative, right, of the hand of God and is sending the Holy Spirit down on Pentecost. I have a message today, and there are different things that we read in this great scripture today in chapter 2, but I want to actually take a little bit more of a different approach to it. And I have read many journal articles over the years as a seminary student, as also as a pastor. There are people that really spend time using their gifts and their abilities that God gives to them so that they can write things to benefit the church. And there are many different journals that they appear, these articles appear in. And a couple of them that I've read also had a little bit different of an approach to it. They can basically do what they want within a journal. There's a lot of freedom. But what they do is they talk about what men of God or women of God have talked about and their views on things of the Bible and help us to understand it, but also they introduce us to these great women and men of God. And so what I would like to do today is use the writings of two people. A.W. Tozer is one of them. And, well, actually, there's a few here, but mainly Tozer and Andrew Murray today, to use their writings about the Holy Spirit to help us to understand what God wants for us in Grace Church. The Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost. Pentecost is really Greek for 50. And so it's talking about 50 days after the Passover, right? And so it's this time. But we don't think of it as just being an event that happens after 50 days of waiting. It is actually the significance of Pentecost is that it fulfills and comes at the end of a period of time, beginning with Jesus Christ dying on the cross, right? The Passover time. And then Jesus being raised from the dead, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his time spent with his disciples and appearing to many people to teach them about the kingdom, and then ascending into heaven, which we spoke about last time, the ascension of Christ into heaven. And then this promise of Jesus that he would be sending talking with the Father when he goes up into heaven and saying, send the Holy Spirit. And it was on this day that the Holy Spirit came. And so it's known as Pentecost, but it really is the time that we remember that the Holy Spirit was sent. And we are celebrating the Holy Spirit today, but we should do that every day, as we'll see in the text today, from these two very strong Christians. And so I'll begin with a quote by A.W. Tozer. He says this: Pentecost means that deity, means God, came to mankind to give himself to man, that man might breathe him in as he breathes in the air, that he might fill men and women. Right? So this really is the emphasis of the whole sermon today, that the Holy Spirit is not just this kind of a thing that we might see doing something somewhere or feel something. And I just shared a moment where the Holy Spirit blessed me with a word for you using a fork today. So we don't know what the Holy Spirit is going to do sometimes, right? But it really is much more than perhaps we pay attention to in our lives. The Holy Spirit is something, as according to Tozer, coming from God so that we would breathe him in just as we breathe in the air. I think that's quite beautiful, and it's something that helps me to be able to see that the Holy Spirit is not just a chance thing that shows up here and there, but it's a constant in our lives, and we are to look at the Holy Spirit in that way. It is a blessing from God. He is a blessing from God, and we breathe him in each day, because the breath is really a word that is connected to the word for the Spirit, and that comes from the wind that we hear about in this story today of the Holy Spirit coming. So this breath of God is really the Holy Spirit coming, and we're breathing in And that means that we have to live with it, right? We don't just see it somewhere or talk about it in some distant way. It's in us, right? So he told this story about A.B. Simpson. A.B. Simpson was one of the main founders of the Missionary Alliance Church, or the one, the main one, and Nyack College that we know about is, it was started by the people that were Missionary Alliance church members. And so we have an association with a college nearby us there. So listen to what A.B. Simpson talks about when he describes being filled with the fullness of God. To be filled with the fullness of God is like a bottle in the ocean. You take the cork out of the bottle and you sink it into the ocean. You get the bottle full of the ocean. The bottle is in the ocean. The ocean is in the bottle. The ocean contains the bottle. The bottle contains a little bit of the ocean. And so it is with the Christian. We are filled under the fullness of God, but of course we cannot contain all of God because God contains us. I think that's a helpful illustration, right, for us to be able to see that bottle in the ocean. It's being filled with God, right? We can't take in the whole ocean, but we're filled to capacity of what we are, right? And God is in us. God contains us. Did you ever think of it that way, that God contains you? And so it switches us around, and I hope in our church, really as Grace Church, we can develop this as we go along to be able to see God as this spirit we breathe in and is in us completely that way. So it's not just I was very moved by what Kit said today, when she was praying, how often we hear something and then we forget about it, and we choose what we want to do and that suits us. But then the other part, we just kind of, it really moved me to hear her saying those things because it fits in. And I believe it's spirit led. It's not just, happened to say that today. It's because the Holy Spirit fills her and breathes in her, and she speaks what the Spirit tells her, right? So he goes on to say this, we can have all of God we can contain. We can have all of God we can contain. And if we only knew it, we would enlarge our vessels. The vessel gets bigger as we go on with God. Deity is among us. He says this, if some celebrity were here, the ushers would not know what to do with all the people who would come to see the celebrity. I tell you, we have a celebrity in our midst. It's the Holy Spirit. And this is the verse that says that in the chapter today. It came to pass suddenly they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Right. I love that too, because you often see people flocking to see someone famous, right? Oh, it's, this person is coming into New York and they are waiting outside the hotel to see them go in to do those kind of things. Do we have that same desire to be in the Holy Spirit? Do we see the Holy Spirit as being that important to us so that we want to be that involved with it and that in love with it and that interested in it, right? So this is what he goes on to say. God's word to the church today is the restoration of the Spirit to his rightful place in the church and in your life. By all means, it should be the most important thing that could possibly take place, to restore the Holy Spirit to his rightful place in the church and in our lives. And we are on safe ground here, right? There are many people, one of the reasons that people don't talk about the Holy Spirit is they believe that it's going to lead us into some kind of an area where things are happening that are not of God, we may witness something that happens that's so spectacular, we think, oh, is that okay? But we were talking last night about a person who was healed, who had been very sick, and he was healed by Jesus Christ. Is it not the same thing that the people that saw that started to ask him why he was doing that on the Sabbath? They found all kind of problems in that instead of praising God and saying, praise God, this man is healed. But we hear those kind of thoughts. It's the same kind of thing, guys, in the story today. What happened when the Holy Spirit came down in power? Did everybody say, hey, wow, great, the Holy Spirit is here? No, some of them said what? These people are drunk. They had too much wine to drink, and they probably were laughing among each other and urging each other on. This is not something of God. This is just, you know, these people just had too much to drink. Ha ha, that's so funny, isn't it? But in reality, what they saw was the working of the Holy Spirit. And we see that when things like that occur, it strikes people in such a way so they don't want to trust God is behind it. But God is telling us today that he has a rightful place in our church, right? We're on safe ground. It's in the Bible. It's spoken of here. We are reading it. We're not making this up, and we're not taking you into some kind of danger zone. We are taking you into the place where God's rightful place is, right? He says this is an interesting point. Contrary to what most people might assume, the important thing about the day of Pentecost was not that the Spirit had come. The important thing was that Jesus had been exalted. The glorification of Jesus brought the Holy Spirit. He does not need to be begged for. He comes when the Savior is glorified, when Christ is honored. And so this is very important. Do we want to experience the Holy Spirit? We need to exalt Christ, right? And that's safe ground, isn't it? Doesn't that take us to a place where we can say, okay, it's not just some spiritual thing that's happening in some kind of a way, taking over these people. It is connected with the exaltation of Jesus. And so Jesus Christ must be exalted in our lives, and then the Holy Spirit comes in power. And that's what happened here. Jesus was exalted. He went to heaven. He was exalted, glorified. He received the exaltation that he deserved, right? And the Holy Spirit came in power. Peter had a relationship like that, did he not? Peter's the one that stood up when they were asked, you know, what's going on here? What's occurring? How are these people all talking in these different languages that we understand in our own language? And he stands right up there. And you know why he stands up to talk about this? Because he's exalting Christ. He is a man who believes in Jesus. He's not somebody who goes to a church and goes home, just like Kit was saying again, you know, goes in, pays the dues, goes home again. This is someone who believes in Jesus, knows that his life has been saved by Jesus, walks with Jesus, and wants to witness to people about Jesus. And so there's a difference between people who just say that they are a certain denomination or they grow up in a certain way and people who really believe it. I was teaching in Germany this ESL course that some of the kids from the States came over to teach. I joined in with them. They came to our church and they were teaching the Germans using the book of Luke. And after a while, there was a guy that came to the class. And he was interested in learning English mainly. Most of the Germans that came, they didn't care if we used the Bible. They just wanted to be able to meet people and to talk with people. And we got to know them, you know, and some of them we got to know better than others. But this one guy looked at me suddenly one day and he said, wait a minute. I think you actually believe what the Bible says. And I said, yeah, I do. Right? And so that pointed out to me that there are many people who feel like the Bible is just this book that is filled with kind of things that you read and you can learn and stuff like that. But to believe in it, that's something else for them. And then as it went on from there, he told me that actually he was belonging to a cult, another people that believed in something else. And he wanted to come and check things out, but he saw in the words of the Bible, someone who did not just teach it to learn English, but someone who believed it. And that's what we want. We want to be able to say to someone, I go to Grace Church because I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ and God led me to Grace Church. This is where I meet with other fellow Christians. This is my church family. This is where I grow in the faith. This is where we experience God. This is where we talk about our problems together. This is where we live the belief and the faith in God. Because of him, we live and we grow in him and we seek him and we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit to witness for him. Peter was that kind of a man, and that's what he did on that day. So Tozer goes on to say this: what is needed to be a church of Christ, a living organic member of the redeemed body of which Christ is the head? We need teachers and its members to strive earnestly and sacrificially with constant prayer to do the following. Don't just nibble at, but earnestly strive to do. To do. Sacrificially and with constant earnest prayer. Strive to make our practices New Testament in their content. Nothing dragged in from the outside, right? We're on safe ground here. Nothing brought in that is popular in the world around us to be able to remain in the fundamentals of the Bible that we're taught about Christ's salvation. We must teach and do the Testament, New Testament truths, and we must constantly go to the grassroots. Just a couple more words of Tozer, and then I'll say something else. I say this: when we give God his place in the church, when we recognize Christ as Lord, high and lifted up, when we give the Holy Spirit his place, there will be joy that is not worked up. We do not work up the Holy Spirit, right? And that's safe ground. How do we experience the Holy Spirit? When we recognize Jesus Christ as Lord, give God his place in the church, high and lifted up, when we give the Holy Spirit his place as being filling us with Christ, with God, the presence of God, the power to be his children. Then it springs forth. The joy springs forth like a fountain, right? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit coming out of us. It's not forced. It's not like, I want to really be a Holy Spirit filled guy. It is allowing God to pour his Spirit into us. So that well that springs up from within is not forced. It is natural from the Holy Spirit. So that will be one characteristic of a Spirit filled church. There are joyful people, and it'll be easy to distinguish them from the children of the world. We heard from a couple people that the world is in need of joy. They're in need of joy during these times. I can't tell you how many people I've spoken with just in the last week who told me, I am totally fatigued. I am tired. My soul is tired. This whole pandemic, all these things going on in the world, the killings of children, all these different things. I'm worn out. I can't do this. You know, how can I live with this? And God gives us the answer through his Holy Spirit. He speaks to us. He uses us to bring hope into the world through him. That is what God does. But we are a joyful people. And so let us be joyful people. Right? It's hard sometimes. You know, I would say that one of the things that I have the hardest time accepting in myself is that I appear too serious. I grew up I was getting in trouble at school all the time because all I did was stand online and laugh with my friends. That's me, right? I mean, I got in all kinds of trouble, notes sent home. What are you doing? What are you doing? I got another note. What am I going to do? You know, causing my parents grief. But you know what? I really had a good time. I had a lot of good friends, and I had a good time doing that, and I paid for it deeply when it came to the SATs and things like that. But and I really regret that part, but there's an element of that I feel that is important for us to retain. And I was reminded of that the other day. I was sitting at Julia's home. Lee Chan was downstairs taking a rest or doing something, and I was in the main living room, and Caleb, my grandson, was sitting there, and he was doing something by himself. He was playing, and I was looking at my cell phone, and I was actually looking at a Facebook that was a post that a friend of mine made, and he likes to laugh, and I always laugh with him, and he posted this really funny thing, and I started laughing, but I wasn't aware of my laughing. I just started laughing, you know? But then all of a sudden, from across the room, came this laugh. And my grandson was laughing, because I was laughing. He didn't see what I was laughing at. It didn't interest him. He just was starting to crack up because Grandpa was laughing at something. But do you see the effect that we have on people? I mean, I wasn't aware of that, but I was actually enjoying a moment in life and laughing about it. And it had the effect of making my grandson look at me and laugh. Now, that's one thing that I will not forget. I want to be someone that he can laugh with. I want to be with people in this church, someone we can laugh with, right? We can express joy. We can express things that are spontaneous and that are good. And that does not come from myself. That comes from the Holy Spirit that laughs, that points out to me, your grandson is over there and he's laughing. Remember that one, John, because you are his example. You are his grandfather. Bring him up not to fear, right? That's what the Bible says. I have not given you a spirit of fear, right? Love, power, and self-control, right? These things are the things that we have. When was the last time you let go and laughed? Search for it. Search for it in God's word. Search for it in the Holy Spirit. Draw into the Spirit. Ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, and you will begin to understand what joy is. And I can tell you that it comes spontaneously. It comes out of nowhere. It's not like this constant kind of thing, but it is there to say, you are alive in this world to bring good and to be a positive influence on people, because I am your God and I have died for your sins so that you would not live in fear of death, not fear of sinning against me, but that you would want to stop sinning and live for me and be that example to all the people around you. So that is what God wants on Pentecost in our church today, in Grace Church. We are to be joyful people, and we can help one another to do that, right? When I see people in our church, you know, I feel good. You know, I'm hardest on myself, I think. So maybe I just need to do some more work. Maybe you can pray for me, you know. But we need to be joyful, and it comes from the Spirit. The church that is Spirit-filled will be used to help the race of mankind. It will be useful to the whole community, because we're here. Everybody ought to be better. We have an effect through the Holy Spirit coming into our lives to help the world around us. Right? Okay, so now I want to read you something that from a man named Moody, and some people from the OCM family have gone to Moody, like Minister Can, the Moody Seminary in Chicago. Let me read you something about him, and please listen to this. This is a person who has affected many, many people's lives. Years ago, on the south side of the city of Chicago, there was a little home, and in the home lived an elderly woman full of the Holy Ghost named Mother Cook. A young fellow was converted in the city, and he would have made a good salesman. He was very busy. He loved to run in circles. He went everywhere running in circles, and his name was Dwight Moody. One day, Mother Cook saw Dwight and said, "Son, I would like you to come over to my house tomorrow. I want to talk to you." And so he went over to her house. She sat him down on a chair and said, "Now, Dwight, it's wonderful to see you saved so beautifully. It's wonderful to see you so zealous for the Lord, but do you know what you need? You need to be anointed with the Holy Ghost." "Well," he said, "I want everything that God has for me." "All right," she said, "get down here." And he got down on the linoleum and they prayed a while. And she prayed, "Oh God, fill this young fellow." Moody died out there, opened his heart, brought his empty vessel to the Lord, and took the promise by faith, but nothing happened. A few days afterward, he was in Philadelphia. He said, "As I was walking down the street, suddenly God fulfilled the promise he had made to me in that kitchen. And down on him came a horn of oil, and the Holy Spirit came upon him. And he said he crawled up an alley and raised his hand and prayed, 'Oh God, stay your power in me or I'll die.' And then he said, 'I went out from there preaching the same sermons with the same texts, but oh, what a difference now. The Holy Spirit had come. Now the Holy Spirit had been there. He had caused him to be born again. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now you may be feeling like, okay, that's bordering on the line of, you know, I'm not used to hearing something like that, where a person prays over another person and says, I really feel that you need to be anointed. I need that you feel that you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But this man is a very trustworthy Christian. And God was teaching him something through the Holy Spirit that day. And he opened up to it and said, I want anything that God is going to give to me. All he needed to do is agree and to say, okay, let me see. Let me see what God, what you're talking about here. And he received it. I believe that we need to pray more like that for other people. Right? I'm not saying that we are doing something on unsafe ground. I'm talking about what happened at Pentecost, and I'm talking about God coming down in power in the Holy Spirit. And I believe that we in our church need to take time to go to one another and start to pray over each other. It doesn't take very much. It just takes faith. Right? There's no harm that's going to come if you're a Christian and you believe in exalting Christ and you go to someone, you lay your hand on them and say, let me pray for you. God has put you on my heart. I need to pray for you. Man, there's a lot of things that will be opened up, and that Satan will be defeated in those kind of moments when we do that and we practice it. We need to begin to practice our faith in God, in the Holy Spirit. And he can fill us. Andrew Murray, let me just give you a couple of words of his today. If we give ourselves entirely into his power, the Holy Spirit, as our life ruling within us, he will give himself to us, take more complete possession of us, and work through us. It is as an indwelling life that the Holy Spirit must be known. In a living, adoring faith, the indwelling must be accepted and treasured until it becomes part of the consciousness of the new man. The Holy Spirit possesses me. If in this faith we wait on God for his divine leading and working, placing themselves entirely at his disposal, our prayer cannot remain unheard. There will be operations and manifestations of the Spirit's power in the church and the world such as we could not dare to hope. The Holy Spirit only demands vessels entirely set apart to him. He delights to manifest the glory of Christ our Lord. The Holy Spirit delights to manifest the glory of Christ our Lord in you and in me. And that's what we want in our church, right? We're talking about this day for Pentecost, not to become a day where Pastor John explains what the 50, you know, what the word Pentecost means in Greek. I almost went there, okay? But the Holy Spirit took me away from those thoughts into the place that we have, which is a word for us here. And so when you're studying the Bible, it's good for you to do so, and it's good for you to pay attention to the details. But if you don't pray for the Holy Spirit to fill you as you are teaching it, you are going to come away with less. Right? He takes you to places like forks. He takes you to places like dew on the ground. He takes you to the places when I've been giving the children's message for a long time, many years now, and I think it might be time for someone else to use their gift to come up and start to do that. I welcome it because the Holy Spirit speaks through each one of you. Amen? He speaks through every single one of you. And we want to put those things into practice, right? The kids gave a wonderful dinner last night. They put things together. Did everything go exactly as they planned? You'll have to ask them. But I would probably guess probably not. There were things that came up that were unexpected. Isn't that part of life? But if you don't do things, you'll never learn, will you? Right? I remember going to the boardwalk down at the shore. And there was this spook house, and it looked really fun and everything like that. And my sisters were going in, and they were coming out laughing and everything like that. But I was spooked. I was like, I can't go in there. And they said, well, you're going to live. Come on. You're going to miss your chance. You know, we have to go now. So if you're going to go, you have to go now. And so I said, I can't do it, because I was so scared to go in there and have fun. Right? So what happened? On the way home, I said, can we go back? I want to go in now. I want to go back. They didn't believe a word I said. The point is, if we don't do something, right, then we're going to stay in the same place and we won't experience the things that God wants to give to us, right? I'm tired of that kind of a feeling, right? We want to be filled with the Spirit of God and we want to be joyful. And so can we do that, everyone? Can we help one another to do that, to guide us into those kind of places so that we can experience God in powerful ways? Because when we come to people and we lay out the Bible to them in some kind of a way that was written by somebody else to guide them to the truth, chances are it's not going to be as effective as when you say, I know Jesus personally and he saved my life. Can I tell you about it? And within that whole story comes the things that you've learned in Sunday school and the things that you know that are right in keeping with the Bible. But it's the Holy Spirit using our stories as witnesses, and that's exactly what happened here at Pentecost. Peter stood up and he started to teach them, told them that he believed in Jesus Christ. Was it an easy message? No. But he told them what the Holy Spirit told him to say. So listen to what the Holy Spirit says to you. You're on safe ground. Be filled. Begin to pray for one another. Take moments and cross that line where you're afraid. Cross that line with the strength of God and get involved with people's lives. For Grace Church, we want to give the Holy Spirit his rightful place. A rightful place. It's in the Bible. It explains it. It shows us. We see examples of it at work. Let's give the Holy Spirit his rightful place. To be filled with the Holy Spirit so that our lives will more and more reflect our faith and the relationship that we have with God as his children and express it with joy. To be witnesses of Christ empowered by the Holy Spirit just as Jesus had planned and is doing right now through your life. Amen. And now we are going to see a dance that is going to speak to us about this theme of the Holy Spirit coming down and wind and then the fire. Let me just read you the text that is in this this song by Third Day. Set this place on fire. Send your Spirit, Savior. Rescue from the mire. Show your servant favor. Yeah. Yesterday was the day that I was alone. Now I'm in the presence of Almighty God. Yes, our God, he is a consuming fire and the flames burn down deep in my soul. Yea, our God, he is a consuming fire. He reaches inside. He melts down this cold heart of stone. Set this place on fire. Send your Spirit, Savior, rescue from the mire and show your servant favor. Yesterday was the day that I was alone. Now I'm in the presence of Almighty God. Yes, our God, he is a consuming fire and the flames burn down deep in my soul. He's a consuming fire. He reaches inside and melts this cold heart of stone. Do you realize that inside of you there's a flame? Did you ever try to let it burn and let it burn, let it burn? Sing it loud if you know it. Yes, our God is a consuming fire and the flames burn down deep in my soul. He is a consuming fire. He reaches inside and melts down this cold heart of stone.